is separating those who are worshiping Him and understanding what His kingdom is about. Jesus is really busy talking to us about having a set of rules and knowing the Bible and about having a relationship with Him. In this week, I had 3 meetings with people. And my answer to all 3 of them was, I don't have an answer for you. But I want you to tell me, what is God saying about this situation? And can I tell you a secret? After I've told you the secret, it's not going to be a secret anymore. But can I tell you what happened after I asked them and told them that I don't have the answer? We must pray now and we must receive an answer from God. All of them got uncomfortable. All of them looked at me and they thought, well, now, what are we talking about here? With no exception, there was other people also whom I told this during this week, just saying, look, I don't have an answer. And I could see they connected with me. They knew what I was saying. But you know how many people come to me for an answer? You know how many people come to us for answers? But when you tell them that you don't have an answer, they must pray now, listen to what God is saying, and they get uncomfortable because it's the first time that somebody has ever challenged them to listen to what God is saying. Now, for this one lady, it was a huge challenge because she's thinking about divorce. And what happened was she caught her husband in the act of adultery. So now she wanted to know what she must do. I told her, well, I can tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says you have a right to divorce your husband. I can tell you what Scripture says. I can quote that Scripture to you from Matthew. And I can do it in a... You want me to do it Pentecostal way? Or do you want me to do it the old Afrikaner way? Or do you want me to do it in my voice? But I told her, my dear lady, what is God saying to you? And it got all quiet. I said, what is God saying to you? What must you do? And I told her, look, I want you to go and pray about this, and then you must come back to me, and then you must tell me what God is telling you. And when I spoke with her afterwards, she told me, no, she doesn't have an answer yet. She doesn't know. And I said, look, yeah, I know you want me to tell you something, but what I'm going to ask of you now, you get the relationship with the Holy Spirit right here. Because Jesus says it really simple. My sheep know my voice. So if you understand God's voice in this situation, you must seek Him. Now that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Really a lot of people. Because it challenges our kingdom perspective of what kingdom says and what kingdom is. I also spoke to another man, and he had problem connecting with his daughter. So he's really angry, and he has all these rules and regulations that this child must follow. And I told him, look here, it's not about the rules and regulations, it's about relationship. You can't have relationship with rules and regulations. You can't have relationship with rules and regulations. You can't. The more you make rules, the more you make the regulations, the further you chase your daughter away from you. From good relationship comes good fruit. From good relationship, we understand why we need to follow rules. So many people follow so many rules in the kingdom, it frustrates them, it gets them angry, and they're angry at God because they don't have a relationship with Him. They have a relationship with a book. And then they read Scripture from the book, and then they say, well, the book says, I must do so and so and so and so. And so it's one thing to know the scripture, but do you know the author of scripture? Do we grieve the Holy Spirit? And what I'm talking about in kingdom is we must continually build upon what we think and know about the kingdom. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're really angry at Jesus because they always have Moses and the law. And so John rightfully says to them, look here, and don't come and tell me you have Abraham as your father. God will raise up sons for him from these stones. Brood of vipers. I don't know how he said it in the Greek which he spoke. But it must have sounded really dramatic. Can somebody speak Greek here? Nobody. Then just imagine that I'm speaking Greek now. I always pictured something like that. Maybe said something like that. Brood of vipers. You snakes. And it was a real shocker to them in telling him, look, Jesus is cleaning his threshing floor. Jesus is cleaning his threshing floor. And you're not having relationship with him according to the kingdom. You see him as this carpenter from Nazareth. That's what you're seeing here. And it was a scary thing because what John was saying is, look, you're not recognizing Jesus. You're not recognizing him. You're not seeing God's hand over this man's life. So, let's move on. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Can you see how valuable the kingdom is when you understand in what kingdom you are? The first person stumbles upon so many riches. He sells everything. Read, just like that scripture again, the first one. He sells everything to buy that field. He sells everything. I want it to sink in because I want you to see kingdom. Just go, no, not the first scripture there where you were now, Wani. Matthew about the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold that he had and bought it. How valuable is God's kingdom to you? Is it cheap? Is it a pearl of great price? And what is interesting, just watch that. For the joy over he sells everything. It's a joyous thing to sell everything for the kingdom. The joy of kingdom values. Kingdom demands, and I want to read it to you. It will be there. Kingdom demands an abandonment of all other values. Kingdom demands an abandonment of all other values. Do you understand now why Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? It's going to be a real challenging evening for a lot of us. It's going to be a real challenging lifespan from now until you put your head to rest concerning the kingdom. It's going to be really difficult. The value of the kingdom. The value of the kingdom. Let's read Matthew chapter 6 verse 19. It gets interesting. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, Jesus said this. You want to throw Jesus' quote just after this? Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your treasure is will determine which kingdom you are following. Your treasure determines your stewardship. Your treasure determines your stewardship. Stewardship is managing that which belongs to God. Stewardship, managing money, should be seen in the light of kingdom. You can't talk about money and the value of money if you don't understand kingdom and the value of the kingdom. You can't talk about the value of money if you don't understand the value of the kingdom. Because if you don't have insight into how much the kingdom is worth for you, you will never have clarity on the value of money and how you determine your stewardship should be. You will always mismanage that which belongs to you if you don't understand the kingdom. Now, a lot of people thinking I'm talking about money this evening. I'm not. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the kingdom. You see, when Jesus talks about treasures, we think ching, ching, tingling, ching, ching. Dollar signs. When Jesus talks about finances, we think finances. When Jesus mentions money, we always think Jesus wants to talk about money. But I've come to greater understanding of what Jesus is talking about. Yes, he's mentioning money, but he's talking more on what side of the kingdom are you. Because if you have a wrong understanding of kingdom, kingdoms will collide. It's not about the finances. God doesn't need our finances. The reason that we tithe is for ourselves. We tithe, we give because, you know, and it's simple. They challenge Jesus about it. Again, a kingdom principle. Jesus, should we pay temple tax? Jesus, should we pay Caesar? And then Jesus says, give me that coin here. And scripture says, Jesus knew they wanted to trap him. Jesus says, look at this coin. Whose head is on it? Caesar. Jesus, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. You know how many people now, they will give SARS what belongs to SARS, but they won't give God what belongs to God. They'll give SARS everything that belongs to SARS, but they won't give what belongs to God. And again, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about people's understanding of kingdom. Jesus says, this is a kingdom. It's Caesar's kingdom. And you must give Caesar's kingdom what belongs to Caesar's kingdom, because he still has, you know, to look after the streets, and he has to pay his officials. You know, that is all that we need to do. But hey, this coin doesn't have a flip side because it ceases. But if I must talk to you about my flip side, you give to my dad what belongs to him. Because that's another kingdom. Now, if you don't understand that kingdom, you always give to Caesar what you give to Caesar, but you'll never give to me what belongs to me. And so when the Pharisees, you know, they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, why aren't you paying temple tax? And they're asking Peter about it. Then Peter runs to Jesus. Jesus, they just that cross question me about temple tax. You know what Jesus does? Jesus says, are we free or are we not free? Are the sons free? Yes, the sons are free. But Jesus said, you know, so that they may not stumble and so that we may stand with a clear conscience before God. Watch this. Jesus tells Peter, go catch a fish. When you get the fish, in the fish's mouth will be money. Then pay the tax for that. Now, when I talk about this, people usually think I'm talking about a miracle. Because then we think, yes, no, kan dit dan nie met my ook gebeur nie? Kan ek in 'n veld staan en arena geld haal nie? Where's that miracle? God, isn't there a miracle for my money? It's not about the fish. It's not about the miracle, but it's about Peter's obedience because Jesus says, you catch the fish. And Jesus is talking to Peter about a kingdom principle. We're talking about kingdom here. I'll clarify. Your value system determines your stewardship. Can you flat that scripture there? Your value system determines your stewardship. You see, we place more value on money and on material things than the value of the kingdom. I can tell you this, money is overrated. We do need money to make the kingdom come. But we don't need money if we don't have an understanding of kingdom. I was telling at intercession, the guys the other day, my wife and I, we went to go buy, I think it was, Dukene? What do you call it in English? Diapers. 2 packs of diapers, chicken, a bread, eggs. What else? About that. That was it. I'm serious. $490. Gone. Now I know what God was trying to tell me in front of that. Told my child, you don't need the 500 grand. You rather need the word from me. Because that $500 will move out of your pocket now. Some of us, we can spend much more quickly than others. You know what I mean? You have 2,000 rand today, the next morning you don't have it. You have 10,000 rand now. You can spend 10,000 rand in a day, very easily. You can spend 1 million rand in a day, in a blink of an eye. It will disappear out of your account. It will disappear out of your account. It can disappear out of your account with a click of a button. If you ever thought of that, you just clickety click, gone is the million. You don't have 1 million anymore. You see, if you don't have an understanding, if you place value on things in God's perspective, because God is talking about a treasure. Now, what is this treasure? It's not money. Because you can't take money and the things with you to heaven. Because Jesus said, build treasures here, make treasures for you in heaven. Now, what are these treasures? It's intangible stuff. And this is what frustrates so many people in the kingdom. Because everything that we seek, if it's not for me, if it's not for myself, it's not for I, if it's not self-gratifying, if I can't touch it, if I can't feel it, if I can't buy with it, if I can't brag with it, if I can't show it off, then I have nothing. 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 Whitney Houston. If I don't have you. What's that song's name of Whitney Houston again? I was just thinking of that now. But you see, then we think we have nothing. But that's not the truth. Because if that is your perspective, that is where your treasure will be. And oh, how do we see treasure? Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Very, very, very important scripture for tonight. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. First. I say it to a lot of people nowadays, first, 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 not second, first, first seek the kingdom. If you read this, what is Jesus talking about? Jesus says, don't worry. Jesus promises, or worry is he there? He starts at, you know, don't worry. Jesus will, as Jesus clothes, you know, the lilies of the field, talks about the birds of the air, how Jesus feeds them. Now, can I tell you a secret about us? I don't know how not to worry. If there's any person that can come here and teach me, I've learned not to worry. Please come and teach it to me. I'll be so grateful afterwards. But we all worry. So Jesus is just challenging us. Jesus says, I know that you always worry. But I'm saying to you now, in any case, don't worry. And I'm saying it to you, don't worry, but I know you're not going to get it. Do we get frustrated? God, there's no money in the house. God, I can't pay the rent. God, how am I going to pay my child's school fees? God, God, God. And then Jesus preaches, don't worry. Now, I don't know about you, but it frustrates me that Jesus will say, don't worry. But then I just have to look at the man's lifestyle and what the man says. Sometimes I don't even know where to put my head down. You want to talk about following me? Foxes have holes. But you know, I still operate. Now Jesus, how can you operate with this? Jesus, how can't you be sentimental about all the sentimental stuff? Jesus, why are you not materialistic? Because Jesus, first. That's the answer. First. First. You know what the first speaks of? Your time. Jesus says, all your time must first come to me. That's the first thing that must come to me, your time. How much time do you spend with me? Then Jesus says, first, then Jesus says, seek, 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 seek. You know why Jesus is saying seek it? Because Jesus knows we won't stop worrying. So when you worry, I can tell you this, you seek. And that is what freaks these people out when I tell them I don't have an answer for them, because now they must start seeking an answer. I don't have a 10-step plan. Ekati tin stop planning. I don't have a 10-step plan. You seek. You seek. You seek. And so it's something that God has just been teaching my wife, me and my wife now for the past 3 years. Where you first just seek God. You first just diligently seek Him through all of the frustrations. Through all of the worries. You just diligently first seek Him. You seek His face. You ask Him, God, what are the treasures that I'm looking for here? Because Jesus says, if you do that, then all the other things will be added to you. But first, don't seek that. We got it the other way around. We first seek the other things. How beautiful is this? Your time. Stewardship. We're talking about stewardship now, but I'm not talking about money. Have you noticed? It's kingdom stewardship, but I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about prioritizing. How important is church and small group to you? How important is reading the Bible to you? How important is taking time out to pray to God, because you first need to seek His kingdom? How important is it to spend time with brethren? I can tell you this, if we're going to continue, keep on seeking all the other things, we're going to worry. And since God has dropped this in my spirit, I can tell you, life's so awesome. And He's just been reminding me and my wife about it. I told you last week about how we lived where there was no cold water, warm water. How we washed, you know. I can tell you the presence of God. You know how we invited people to, can you remember, my love? How we invited people to that two-bedroom place. We invite seven people, then it's really overcrowded. You must go out of the house to change your mind, then you can go in. Because it's too tight inside of the house. You must go outside of the house to change your mind, just to take the space. We had there about 14 people already. We had a braai there. Ex-officer said, I need to book Marcel and Serena. They were still dating in those days. But you know what? I just love what God did there. I just love the way we seek God. The way we got up in the morning and we walked praying together. Seeking first the kingdom. And now the emphasis is just so much more on seeking God's kingdom. Because I'm going to tell you something now that will shock some of you. But I'm going to tell you this. There's a lot of stuff that you're not going to get answers for in this lifetime. At this stage. I'm telling this to you, the truth. Nobody's saying that to the people. I'm telling you this. But I can guarantee you, if you first seek God and His kingdom, He'll comfort you. I'll support, but the Holy Spirit will comfort you. A lot of Christians don't want to hear this because they're not standing under the authority of the right kingdom. I don't have answers for a lot of you. But if you're going to seek God together in His kingdom, oh, beautiful. Let's read. Just wait. I just want to give you the drop of this. Just go. You know King Solomon? Do you know what King Solomon asked God for? Now just watch after he talks to God. Just watch what God tells him. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 19 to 13. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Just read that. It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked him this. You see there, Solomon never asked him money. Solomon never asked himself thing to gratify himself. Now watch what God says. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked a long life for yourself, nor asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked. Watch that. God gave Solomon the things that he not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all days. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? There was a young man that understood kingdom. He understood about seeking first. He understood where his treasure was, his heart was. And we know Solomon's weakness was woman. Read the scriptures if you don't believe. But in talking to God about this, you see, Jesus says, I will give you the keys. Have you ever thought of it? What's keys? Where do we get the keys? I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. What are these keys, God? God, why are you always speaking in spiritual terms? And I don't understand these keys. You see, the keys are the stuff that you must ask for. The keys are the stuff that will open heaven to you. The keys are the stuff that's the treasures that will be in heaven one day. And so it frustrates people. But I can tell you, if you seek God's kingdom first, like Solomon did, now this freaks out a lot of people. Jesus says, make known your needs, yes, to Him in secret. The Apostle Paul also teaches it. Make known your needs to Him in secret. You make known your needs to Him. But what are the keys? What are the spiritual things that God wants you to first seek? And then He will add. Beautiful. B. Beautiful. John chapter 18, verse 33, then we'll end up. Then Pilate entered the praetorium and again called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, I just want to explain, let me first read. Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "I am a Jew. Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to him, "I find no fault in him at all." Really important thing that we need to grasp. Jesus has been flogged. You saw the passion of the Christ, how they flogged Jesus. First on the backside, then they turned him. They've been beating Jesus now for quite a few hours. So now Jesus is standing in front of Pilate with this crown. He's bleeding. And so Pilate comes and says, now, Pilate asks him, "Are you a king?" And I love what Jesus does here. Jesus says, "Are you asking me this? Or are you just asking me something that somebody else told you?" Now, you know what Jesus is challenging him with Jesus' deity. Jesus is doing evangelism. Jesus is saying, "Look, if you can wreck, are you asking this? Because if you want to know, then I am a king. And then you better bow down. You need to understand this." But now Pilate is freaked. Now Pilate gets sarcastic. "Am I a Jew?" So now Pilate's not a Jew anymore. He wasn't a Jew, he was a Roman. He said, now, please, just tell me then. Your own people, they want to hang you. And Jesus says, "Look here. There's something you don't understand, Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. But my kingdom is clashing with your kingdom now. And you need to make a shift. I'm standing here, and you can't be sarcastic with me. But Pilate, you can't see the regal glory on my face. I'm king. My kingdom is not of the, I won't fight the way you think I'll fight. But Pilate, there's something that you must need to make a peace with." And then Jesus challenges him about the truth. Then Pilate asks Jesus, "Now what is truth?" Now this is the challenge about the kingdom, the truth of the kingdom that all of us have to face until eternity comes. About God's rule and reign within our lives. What it represents, what he stands for, and what he expects from us. And what do we put value on? Do we put value on what we see in front of us? Or do we put value in the things that we can't see, the intangible things? Because the treasures and the kingdom, it's an intangible kingdom. It's not a 10-step plan. It's the wisdom. It's the knowledge. It's the answers that comes from God. Now, Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" You know what the sad thing is? He never stood long enough in front of Jesus so that Jesus could reveal the truth to him. He just asked, "Now, what is truth?" And so he left again. He shouldn't have left. If he stayed longer with Jesus... But you know what? Jesus was standing there, and I can tell you, Jesus could have called the legion of angels, just like that. Jesus could have dropped that whole place like an atomic bomb. That is what Jesus could do in his regal glory. But again, it's the kingdom. It's the kingdom. That is why this morning I challenge people, even if you have to put in leave for Friday, put in leave for Friday. Because what is valuable to you? You know, Alma and I, we talk a lot about things and we pray a lot and ask God, God must give us wisdom. But there are some things, people must get their priorities straight. I tell you, in these last days, people must get their priorities straight about what value does God and His kingdom have in their lives. What's coming first? What do you need to seek first? It's really important that I say this to you. And now I'm challenging so many people now, and I know I stand the chance of offending people this evening. But I'll say it like it is. There's still much self-gratification going on within the body of Christ at this moment. People are building their own kingdoms, like Pilate, and Jesus is looking them in the eye, and Jesus is telling them, you're rightly saying that I'm a king. The only problem is you don't recognize me as king. Now, there's a lot of people that don't recognize Jesus as king in their lives. So this morning, when I challenge people, people think I have a fight with them. I didn't have a fight with people. I had a fight this morning with people because they did not respect what the Holy Spirit was doing. That was my fight. I don't fight with people. I'm a long time past that. I'm fighting about obedience to the Holy Spirit. That is what me and my wife's been fighting about all along. This bee wants to sting me, but I'll float like a butterfly. You know, Muhammad Ali, he said that. But you know, I tell you, people are having a disrespect. And Almer and I, we are having straight talks with people. Straight talks. Not because we're angry at them or aggro. We're having straight talks because we want people to look Jesus in the eyes and say, Jesus, you're king. You said this. I must do this. Jesus must be first seat even in your holiday. Satan doesn't take a break. We want to take a break. So we think when Jesus talks about treasures, we think when Jesus says don't worry, we think when Jesus says give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, we think Jesus is talking about, Jesus is not talking about finances. Jesus is talking about what place do I have in your life? Or should Jesus say, what place do I have in your kingdom? Because some of us, we're building our own kingdoms. Some of us, we're actually building our own kingdoms. It's my little kingdom. It belongs to me. I'm mini me. Everything belongs to me. Moi. My time. And I'm challenging all of us here this evening. Are we first seeking the kingdom? Or do we want to be in control? Because the other question around, how long are you going to be in control? How long do you think you can stay in control? How long do we really think we can stay in control? That's the challenge. That is why Jesus is separating at this moment the sheep from the goats. The reflection upon the king. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you God's kingdom. None of us have rights in God's kingdom. Not one of us. We don't have rights in God's kingdom. If you want to fight that fight with Jesus, be my guest. If you want to fight every day with him about that, be my guest. You can fight with him. But none of us has rights. You take up your cross and you follow me. Day. You deny yourself and you follow me. Don't patronize me. I'm not your buddy. I'm king. I'm standing in my regal glory. And Pilate, you don't understand, but you know what truth is. Truth is standing right in front of you. truth is going to save the world. I'm scourged and I'm bleeding to death, but I'm going to give up my spirit for you also, Pilate. The only problem is you don't recognize it. And so when I come back, I'm coming back for a people that understand that about me. I'm coming back for a people that have made my kingdom come. I'm gonna come to people that really did what they prayed when they say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." That is what we're saying. I'm representing to you God's kingdom. There's so many people that I have to talk to now, you know. So many people just sit them down and say, "Look, you're organizing all this stuff, but I never see God being a priority in your life. God's not a priority in your life. God is not." Then they get angry with me. Then I tell them, "Then prove me wrong." Then it's really difficult for them to find out how God's priority, you know. But I can see the smile coming on their faces when Christ just hits, and then just realize, but God is not a priority in my life. Church is not a priority in my life. Small group is not a priority in my life. Serving in God's kingdom is not a priority in my life. I have lots of other priorities. But there's so many priorities that I don't have. That is not right, because there's other priorities in my life. Finances is a priority. This is a priority. That is a priority. But I'm not first seeking God's kingdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you this evening? I'm not fighting with you. I'm fighting about being obedient to the Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to you? I'm fighting about that. I'm fighting about the rejection of the Holy Spirit. No. No, leave me alone. No, I don't want to do this. No, God, I'm not going to do this. No, God, I don't want to do this. God, you must now wait. God, I must do this, God. No, God, I'm talking about that. That grieves me. It upsets me. I was walking around here this morning and I was praying to God and I said, "God, you've given me a real sensitivity for spiritual things. God, it is having an effect on my body." And so God just told me, "Now, don't you want it anymore?" I said, "No, God, give more." And you know why I said it? Because God is busy. So God said, and I know where these bees come from. The hive is at the back. I saw the hive. It's next to an aircon. I saw the hive. You know. And God just told me, "Look here, my son, I'm teaching you about spiritual things. I'm giving you keys. For you, it's an uncomfortableness. But don't worry, I'm teaching you about my kingdom. And I'm teaching you about the other kingdom. My son, I'm making you aware of the spiritual war around you." And so I said, "God, I'm going with it." You can ask, and then my neck is stiff. Then my stomach turned. You know, this evening we couldn't sleep. When we got home after this morning, after the grieving of the Holy Spirit, that's why I just stopped worship. I told the worship team, there were so many people just there in the pews being disobedient, not being, it just grieved me. I went back, we talked about it. We just said, "God, you must help us here. Because this is not a war against flesh and blood. We're allowing the enemy to steal from us. Because we're not putting God as priority in our lives first." I'm telling you this, people. This is a serious thing for men, Almay. We're fighting this fight not with people. I'm telling you this. We're fighting this fight because we want people to understand the principles of kingdom living and the blessings of it when you're obedient to God. The blessing when you're obedient to God. The blessings that comes with the uncomfortableness. The blessings that comes from putting everything aside. It's just that is what I'm talking about. So please, let us put God first. And let us seek. Seek Him. Seek Him. If you don't have answers, you and your husband, you go on your knees and you seek Him. And you pray. You get up 3 o'clock in the morning together and you pray. For 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5, you pray. You said, "God, I can't anymore. Help me. What do we need to do?" Then your wife pray, "God, we seek your face." Then you read through the scriptures. Then you stand in faith together, then you pray, then you hold hands, then you pray, but you seek God first. You're first at church. God, I'm here. I'm not performing. I want to be here. You're first at small group. God, you told me I must be with the brethren. I'm with the brethren. I can't do this alone. You serve. You first seek the kingdom. You first seek the kingdom because it's about the kingdom. When it comes to tithing, you first tithe before you pay anything else. It's just a priority shift that I made within my life. Usually what I did, I first did this and I first did that. Nowadays, I don't touch my money before I haven't tithed. Now, it's not a rule, please. But it's just something that I shifted within my heart. I'm first going to do this before I'm going to do anything else. Just for my sake. Because I get lost in so many stuff and then by the fifth, I think, oh yeah, I must still. I mustn't forget, I must still. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, I just had to make that shift in my mind. No? Well, 6 years ago. It's just about being first. And it's not a rule. It's not a rule. It's about the priority of where God lies within your heart. Because sometimes we do forget. It's really busy. You know, there's a lot of things happen. All that I'm saying is, I'm not fighting about the money and the rule that you should pay. Please. I'm just saying, what position does God occupy within your heart? And I want us to be honest about that. Are you with me now? Are you with me now? Did you sense the Spirit? Did you sense it here? There's just a challenge by the Holy Spirit for each and every one of us. I mean, you must be honest with God now. I want you to sit there and I want you to say, God, really, you're challenging me, God. But I don't want you to close down because I'm saying it. Because I'm not saying it. I'm just delivering a message that I've been hearing for quite some time. So don't get angry with me. That is why I can rightfully say there's so many people getting angry with the Holy Spirit. It's not me. Are you with me? It's the Spirit. Let's just stand. Van, can you come? And what's the time now? Van, we're not going to worship long. I'm just going to pray now. We're going to worship one song. Then we're going to go home. We're not going to make commitments. This is what grieved me this morning. This is what grieved the Holy Spirit this morning. So many people raising up their hands and singing. But they're not honest with God. Now, who are we fooling? It looks nice. It really looks nice. But I don't want us to be a sing-along church. Ek wil regtig hê ons moet. From the outside, if people have looked, I don't want those people to look at us and say, oh, how beautiful. Oh, you know, look how they're raising their hands. Look at their piety. I don't want that. If we're not true with the Holy Spirit, it's a huge, a massive challenge out there. I really don't want that, people. I want us to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. That is what I'm challenging you. I want us to put the kingdom of God first. I want us to see God in anything, in everything, above everything else. That is what I want to do. Can we close our eyes? If you've never given your life to Jesus, as you nog nooit your heart vir die Here gegee het, and you know God is talking to you this evening, He's having a serious talk with you, then I just want you to raise your right hand. Is there anybody that wants to give their life to the Lord Jesus? Is there anybody that just, you've backslidden? You think you have that relationship, but you don't have it anymore. You have a relationship with yourself and your own kingdom. As I said, you want to pray with you. Those who have raised their hands, would you come forward, please? We want to pray with you. I really want to pray with you. I really trust God just to do this. I don't want us to fool ourselves anymore. You're going to get tired of fooling yourselves. Coming to church for the sake of church. Can we have somebody that can pray with you, please? Is there anybody else? I'm going to pray a simple prayer now. Father, I pray that we will get real with you. Not fake. We don't want to be fakes. God, it's no use in us fooling ourselves. But thank you, Father, that your heart is open and you always challenge us for the kingdom. Amen. I want to thank you. What are we going to sing now?
We exalt you.
We exalt you. We're going to sing that song and then we're going to stop. I'll tell you why. I don't want us to continue and continue and continue and continue. But we're not willing from that point to make a change. Because it stays. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want us to talk the right talk, say the right stuff, but we don't do the right stuff. It's not going to help any of us if we say the right stuff, if we sing the right stuff, but we don't do the right stuff. It's no use. Are you with me? I know it's a huge challenge. I know I may be offending people. I know I may be challenging people really deeply. But please just go and consider this. Don't get angry at me. We need to make quatro aqui too. Just the messenger. Let's say, I'm just saying what I've been told I must say. Please don't get angry with me. But I want you to get serious about seeking God's kingdom first. Otherwise, you'll keep on worrying. You can all be worrying. Because I want us to be a people that recognizes God, hear what He says, and do what He expects. That is all that I want. And I'll keep on fighting with people for that. And then they can decide. But just remember, it's not about me. You think I'll fight with people about that? I can just easily say, oh, go your way. But that's what God has called me to do. God has called me to bring hope, to believe in the things He believed in, that He gave you, to walk with you, and just to release you. That is why God called me now at this time. That is what we do. We believe what God told you, and we want you to become that what He told you you will become. And then it will happen. But we don't have the answers. So we'll do that. And we'll challenge you. Then you'll get angry at us. Then we say, no, be angry at us. But what are you going to do here? We will get angry with you. And we have to pray to God. And it will come. But we will come together to that point where we know God is first. Jesus is first. Are you with me? That is what we do. We love it. I don't know if there's many people that will love that, but I like it. It's not always that easy. There's lots of hurts that come. But I'll tell you, I've been trusting Christ for this moment. God has just released this kingdom. Just release this kingdom song in our lives. Let's sing the one song.